The WLEW, News and Public Affairs Department, now presents What Do You Think? Here is your host, Craig Routson, with today's topic.
Good morning. We have a couple of guests in the studio today. Our guests today include Sheila Eddy and Lori Morosky. We're going to be talking about the Frank Murphy Memorial Museum in Harbor Beach. The museum, it's open again. Oh, it's one of the more things that are just opening because of the pandemic abating, and it's just so nice to have things happening.
It sure is.
Thanks for being with us today, ladies. First of all, give us a little brief history on who Frank Murphy is, because many people know, but a lot of people don't, and he's one of the more famous people from Huron County.
So Frank was born and raised in Harbor Beach. He has held more political offices than anyone else in the state of Michigan. He was a lawyer, a recorder's court judge in Detroit. He was mayor of Detroit during the Depression. He was...
They didn't blame him for that, did they?
No, okay. No. Actually, his model for leading Detroit through the Depression became the model for a lot of other mayors. And they believe that's when President Roosevelt took notice of him. And Frank's career, you know, really took off after that. He was Governor General and First High Commissioner in the Philippines. He was Attorney General for the United States. He actually opened the Civil Rights Department in the Attorney General's office. And then he served 9 years as a justice on the United States Supreme Court.
Up until his death
in 1949. Mm-hmm.
So this takes us way back. I mean, and maybe that's why some people who are in the area don't hear of him, because this all happened 60-some years mm-hmm. ago, almost 70 years ago. Mm-hmm. And but again, big part of Huron County's history. Mm-hmm. And he lived in Harbor Beach.
Yes.
All the time, pretty much.
Graduated from Harbor Beach Community School.
Yep. He never owned a home anywhere else, so when he was mayor of Detroit or when he was in Washington, he would stay in hotels or apartments, but Harbor Beach was always considered home.
And he would make the trip back. He mm-hmm. would, you know, even though you may be out in Washington being a Supreme Court justice, you'd come home when they're off and enjoy your mm-hmm. local community mm-hmm. that knows you.
Right.
Now, you have the actual houses that he resided in. One was a law office that started off as his house, and then the bigger house. So how did that all come about? Did the family, or did Mr. Murphy leave it to the city for a museum?
Frank's father opened the law office, and mm-hmm. when he passed away in 1926, the family closed that building up, because by that point they were living in the big house. And so it was, the law office in the original home was just closed up for many years. And then in 1960, our Chamber of Commerce went to Frank's younger brother, George, and asked if they could open that building up as a museum. So that is when the law office in the original home started as a museum. But then family lived in the big house until the 1990s. Mm-hmm. And so it was around 1994 that Frank's sister-in-law, Bridget, decided she was the last immediate family member living there, and she decided to put the entire estate up for sale. And so that is when the state of Michigan and the residents, citizens of Michigan raised the money to pay for it, and then the state turned it over to the city of Harbor Beach with the mandate that it stays open as a museum.
Now, as I understand it, you folks at the museum got very lucky that you had so much stuff, original, all right. kinds of things, because people who went through the Depression didn't throw stuff out mm-hmm. if it was any good.
They not only didn't throw things out, but Frank had quite the need to have publicity, and he has pictures by the dozens. There's no mm-hmm. way we can display all of that. One thing, we're really proud of Frank Murphy, because it's not only all the jobs he did hold, but everyone he did well. You know, you can be a good mayor, but a poor governor. He was good at everything he did and always thought about the other person. When he was the mayor of Detroit, he started the Victory Gardens, and he had community gardens, and he made sure that during the Depression, when the people weren't able to get paid, they got scab money, which was like, you know, play money. And when the money did start coming in again after the Depression, he was able to pay everybody back, and they didn't lose any money at all. So it's things like that that he's always looked out for.
Sort of like the script they have in the military, where yeah. you know, you get paid in script because they don't want a lot of U.S. dollars all over the place. It allows you to have the equivalent, but it's only good there.
And he learned that because when he was going to U of M, he would come home to Harbor Beach for the summertime, and he would work at the Millen Company, and they were making 17 and a half cents an hour. So you get,
I
you
thought
know,
you were going to say $17 an hour.
No.
No.
Not quite.
That didn't happen then.
Was that big money yeah. back then? Or good money for a kid coming in?
It was for
college?
A kid, because families were being raised on that. So his goal in his life was set young, where he wanted to make sure that people did have good wages. And that's one reason why he was behind the union.
And obviously he went on to other things. He didn't stay there.
Right.
But you were telling me a little bit before the show, we were talking about things. Is that the same place that allowed the homes to get electricity? You said there was like a mill across the street. Is that?
That was the reason for the electricity coming in.
But that mill, is that where he worked?
Yes,
though?
Correct.
He worked there,
correct.
And then when he got the house, they were able to electrify mm-hmm. it, because maybe he had it in good with the guy there and liked him.
Well, actually, the man who built the home, Mr. Jenks, is mm-hmm. the one who put the electricity in the home. And he was the owner of the mill.
Mm-hmm. Do you, you know, you're dealing with a house that was built in the 18-somethings. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's been electrified. It had gas for a time for lighting, and probably 18 different types of furnaces, you know, from wood to coal to mm-hmm. natural gas or whatever you're using now. Mm-hmm. Is it hard to keep it, you know, somewhat original? Because a lot of the systems work differently, and you know, like the electrical, what they put in originally never would pass code today.
Right. Right.
I mean, you got to make sure this thing isn't going to go mm-hmm. up in flames. So there's had to have been some corrective work to make sure what you've got there, you're not going to lose.
You're right. And one of the projects from last year, you know, COVID, of course, closed a lot of things down. But we did rewire the law office. Mm-hmm. That was one of the big projects that we had to do.
Because all those computers now draw so much energy.
Well, yeah. No, it was time to get a dehumidifier in there, and it wasn't going to hold the dehumidifier. So that was why. Yeah,
but that was one of the reasons, you know, in the past, they'd build a house and all they would wire it for would be for lights and mm-hmm. such. Maybe an electric stove, mm-hmm. maybe not. Mm-hmm. But today, everything goes in there.
Right.
And it's just a whole different set of rules you got to apply by.
Right. But we don't change anything. Like, we don't have an electric stove. We don't have a stove that we use. We don't use anything like that at the museum.
Well, I'm sure the city and the insurance company are glad to hear that.
Yes, yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah, I think all of the wiring in the big house has been
we have a good alarm
system,
though. Yep. Keeps people mm-hmm. out.
Yeah.
But these are the things that kind of make it difficult for a museum, isn't it? Mm-hmm. You want to keep it as original as you can. Mm-hmm. But you got to make it safe. You got to make it so it'll last. The electricity, you were talking a little bit that mm-hmm. beforehand, that they still have those little dot push buttons
yes.
for the lights.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You can still find them, I suppose, at a specialty type of place, but they really aren't mm-hmm. making them anymore. And mm-hmm. you want to keep things
right.
original, and mm-hmm. they've got to be functional and safe.
Mm-hmm. We have a window right now in the law office, in the home part of the law office, that needs to be replaced, and they're working on it. The city's getting it replaced, but it's taking it a little longer because it has to be a wood frame. It has to have the same amount of panels, you know, panes in it, so it all takes a little bit longer.
And it's probably vintage, so you need vintage glass, mm-hmm. and it's probably not as weather efficient as a today window, so mm-hmm. you got all that to deal with as well.
Right, and that's where we're fortunate that the city owns the building. That doesn't come from our tours or our mm-hmm. teas or our fundraisers. The city does take right. care of those kind of expenses, and that's a big bonus.
Yeah.
They mm-hmm. saw the historical value of it.
Yes.
And also mm-hmm. the tourism value. There's mm-hmm. things to do when you come to town. They mm-hmm. don't want people just driving through to their cottage. They want them to stop and see what Harbor Beach has to show them.
Correct.
It's a nice setup because our visitor center sits right between the two buildings that are part of the museum. So people, when they want a tour, they come into the visitor center, and that's where we start the tour. And so it's really nice to have that right there with the museum. Or a lot of times if people come in just looking for something to do, we can say, well, we have this beautiful museum next door. Mm-hmm. Let's go take a look at that. So it's a nice setup.
And you're located in town.
Yes. Yeah.
You're the museum that's in town.
We are in town.
It's on 25?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Just, as I believe, south of the light?
So it's on mm-hmm. South Huron. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it's not too far from the light. Just keep looking, you'll find
right.
it.
Right. Oh, you can't miss it.
There's a sign and everything?
There's a sign. If you see the big sign for the visitor center, you're at the museums. Oh.
Okay. Now, you mentioned they left a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a lot that they left that was just from when they moved out, or do you find there are treasure troves that were stored away?
We found something that we think is very valuable. They thought it was just a toy when they found it in the rafters of the barn, but it was an airplane. It was a model airplane that had a cracked wing. So when they found it, they thought, oh, this is just one of the boys' toys, but there's names on it, Henry Ford and Harry Bennett. Both the names are on the wing of this airplane, and it says to Justice Frank Murphy. And what they did, they had made this out of the soybean material because that's what the plastics were going to be, but it was so heavy they really wanted to produce planes for World War II. And when they approached Frank, they said, you know, what do you think about this? But it was really too heavy to use. But we have that model, mm-hmm. so we have a case now, so it's been preserved, and we're running into things all the time. And no, it is, everything isn't what was in the house, because we have the strike table from Flint, where it was signed the end of the strike, when they had the sit-down strike in Flint, mm-hmm. and that was when he was the governor. So, of course, that wasn't their dining room table when they lived
right.
at home. And also, when he was in the Philippines, they had sent this beautiful Filipino mahogany table home, which is
gorgeous.
What they use now in the dining room, and Marguerite's name has been etched on it. They loved the Murphy family when they were at the Philippines, and it's very ornate, and it's very huge, and it's very heavy. So no, that wasn't what they had used as an everyday thing, but when he left the Philippines, they gave it to him. Mm-hmm. The Philippines very often would, like, just change the chandeliers, just to get a new one. Well, Frank, being from Harbor Beach, of course, he said, well, don't throw it away. If I could have this, I'll put it in my dining room. And so that's where we have some of those lights. Came from the Philippines.
The Murphy family loved chandeliers, so in the big house, it's amazing. You could, like, within 5 feet, there's probably three chandeliers hanging. So.
And you're probably sitting there going, I'm glad I don't have to clean those.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
But you mentioned he was in the Philippines. He mm-hmm. was a governor general and first high commissioner. That's a lot different than ambassador. The Philippines was a different nation at that time.
Correct.
The Philippines were a U.S. colony when he first went there, and FDR sent him there to help them transition to their independence. So,
like Hawaii was, and then became a state.
Mm-hmm.
That time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So he was called he was the last governor general there while they were a colony, and then they transitioned to an independent commonwealth, and he was the first high commissioner. So he was there, I think it was 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
He because he was never married. When he went to the Philippines, he needed a female to go with him to serve as his first lady and his hostess. So his sister Marguerite actually went with him. And she and Frank were instrumental in getting women in the Philippines the right to vote. He did a lot for the Philippines. And we mm-hmm. actually have the largest collection of Philippine cultural artifacts in the country right at our museum.
Might want them back.
No, they are all very personalized to the Murphys. Yeah. A lot of them are very, very personalized. Right. So,
okay, well, see, that's he just wasn't in the United States. He mm-hmm. he was on the world stage.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I like to tell people when they take the tour, I think it's so interesting because it's a family's home, so it's a family's history. It's Harbor Beach history, it's Huron County history, it's Michigan history, it's U.S. history, and it's international history, all within these two buildings. Mm-hmm. So
how did he manage the house? I mean, he's gone half the time, and he was not married. Did he have to have a housekeeper, somebody there who takes care of things? Because things will get dusty. Somebody's just got to make sure that something in the cupboard isn't going bad, and you're going to come home to something you don't want to smell.
Well, Harold and his wife were around, and and they would have lived there for a period of time. And then George and
his brothers.
Yeah, and his wife and children. Actually, there's cribs there. There's little furniture from Frank's nieces.
Things Frank never had to use.
Right.
Just family members.
Correct. Yeah. So it was always used by the family.
There was usually family around that.
How big of a house is it? If you haven't been there, is how many bedrooms is there? Roughly. I mean, I don't know if some have been converted to other uses or something. But
there's four bedrooms, and then when you go into Marguerite's room, of course, we have all of her Filipino gowns and beautiful attire that she wore when she was in the Philippines. Mm-hmm. And then in George's room, we have all, I mean, George did all right for himself also, you know, he was a lawyer and he was in the Navy, and we've got, or was it the Air Force?
The Navy.
Mm-hmm. But he also flew planes. So we've got a great big propeller and we've got all of those kind of things in his room. And then the mom and dad had a big room, and Frank had a teeny tiny, that almost looked like a big closet. He had just a little room because he was only there for two or three days, you know.
We always tell people that room is joined to the parents' room. You have to walk through the parents' room to get to Frank's, and we just tell people he was obviously his mother's favorite. So
there you go.
Yeah.
You mentioned the Filipino dresses. We had talked about this before the show. You concerns, because you want to make sure that they're maintained and they're clean, but you just can't put them in a Maytag with a Tide Pod and just hope for the best. So you're going to have somebody come in and look at this, what might need a little stitching and repair, just to make sure it's safe to clean.
Right, and we're very fortunate to have a Filipino community in Harbor Beach that is actually very, very interested in the museum. They've been very, very
Did they
hands-on.
Come back with Frank, or is this just something that happened?
Oh, no, they're
later?
Newer than that.
Oh, okay. But I mean, I didn't know if the community
going way
started
back.
Way back and it just kept growing.
Right. No, not really. Now, Dr. Dell used to be here. Mm-hmm. She just retired a few years ago, 4 years ago maybe. But she had gone to the college and was at the park that is named after Frank Murphy. So when she came here to Harbor Beach, she really thought she had a find. Because to think that this man who did so much for their freedom was the town that she came from, the town that she was working in, and she was just really moved with that. And then she got a lot of backing from the other Filipinos in the area, and they've just been very generous with us.
Yeah, some of our other medical professionals have come from the Philippines too, and I've always wondered if it does go back to the Murphy's connection with the country, if that's how they started.
Because this is where they started, it may be more of their cultural history class than even ours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
And you mentioned that you do get some tours for the kids.
Yes, we do. Mm-hmm. We have an outreach for the schools, and we would really recommend that the country schools give us a call, because we've got a really good program for them, and we don't give the tour like in an adult kind of a form. We break it down for the children. There's we have shells that were gathered on the island of Guam. We have things like this that the children are interested in. What did Frank do as a child? What was he interested in high school? So this is what we bring to the children when they come through, and it's really a good history lesson for them. And we would love to have the schools contact us, and we do have a good program for them.
Frank would probably be amazed that they would ask, do they play video games? What is that?
We would really like to get the high schoolers to come in too, because there's a lot of history in there that would be really good for them. And I had mentioned to you when we were talking earlier, in the fall of 2019, we sent brochures and information out to every school in the Thumb here in Sanilac and Tuscola and invited them to come in for a tour, and we were hoping to get a lot of them in the spring, and then unfortunately everything shut down.
Everything shut down.
Right, so we're hoping to send all of that information out again and get some of our high schoolers in there, because they really need to see this history that we have right here in our area.
Mm-hmm. And it's complete. It isn't, you know, pieced together and, oh, this is from the era, this is this is what they would have had, this would have been likely what they would have bought. This is pretty much genuinely everything they have.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Terrific. Mm-hmm. How did the pandemic affect the museum? I mean, I know you're part of the city effort, so the city wasn't going to let it go down, but and you mentioned, I think, that they pay the electricity and such, but you know, you do take donations and such. You have your teas, which we're going to talk about in a little bit, and those things are fundraisers where you try to help the building as well, and the museum's restorations.
Well, we were just closed. Lori was without a job.
Right. My summer job. I have a job at the Catholic school in Harbor Beach during the school year, which was also
kind of weird.
A little off for the last year or so. But yeah, my summer job, I really missed it. So I'm very, very thankful that we're able to open again this year. So.
And you can come if you're not comfortable without a mask, wear your mask. If not, come on in and enjoy. The people doing the tours will likely have masks because they meet and greet a whole lot of people that go through the. Now, they need to stop and make an appointment, though. It isn't just open. There are some maybe during, like, the Harbor Festival or something where you may have some hours where people can just stop by, but if you want to do something sort of after hours or elsewhere, you need to call and make sure somebody's going to be there.
You can actually do it either way. The museum is actually open, and the visitor center is open 7 days a week this year.
Oh.
We have another tour guide and receptionist for the visitor center who's there on Mondays and Tuesdays. And then I am there Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Who's manning it right now?
She is. She's filling in for me today.
I thought I caught her.
She's filling in for me today. So so we're open Monday through Saturday, we're open 8 to 4, and Sunday we're open noon to 4, and you can just walk in and say, I would like a tour. Or if you want to schedule one ahead of time, the information for that, like with my phone number, is on the city's website. And you can just call me, and we can schedule, or Sheila, and we can schedule a tour so we know when you're coming.
How many people would make a tour? I mean, you don't want one person. I mean, it'd be nice to have a family or you know, a group of people.
We take one at a time.
Yep,
if that's all. If you're a single, just come on through. But if you have a group, like I'm saying, 25, 30 people, we really appreciate a phone call.
Right, then you need to call. Then we have two tour guides there, and we split
these rooms
up.
Are small for that many people.
One can start with the big house, and one can start with the little house.
We've got such a system, yes.
Probably the most we would take with one tour guide would maybe be six. So if you have more than six people, then we ask that you call and schedule a tour ahead of time.
But if you're a family of more than six, like you got five, you know, four children, a mom and dad, you're welcome to come just as a drop-in.
Right.
But no, we do appreciate a heads up if you're going to have a tour.
If they're coming with children, is it better if they're really young, maybe put it off for a year or two because they're kind of grabby and they might get more out of it a little later down the road than just seeing a bunch of stuff and going, are we going to have ice cream now? Are we going to have, you know, that type of thing?
Yeah.
That's a tricky question. Mm-hmm. That's a tricky question. I think it would all depend on the children and the mom and dad. If mom and dad can keep their hands off of stuff, then they're fine. But if they're going to be unruly and be pulling on things, then no, that wouldn't be acceptable.
And we've had times that, you know, someone will come in the visitor center and they'd like a tour and they have little ones with us and they'll say, you know, we're not sure we'll be able to do the whole thing, and we'll just say, you know, come on through, we'll show you, and if you need to leave, that's okay.
We'll take you as long as
you need to.
They're interested, and when they start getting, like, herding cats, then you can go.
We can do speedy ones, or we can do slow ones. We're kind of very flexible.
To do a full tour, to really get the full effect of everything, takes probably close to an hour and a half. Yeah, because there's that much stuff in there. Mm-hmm.
You mentioned the chandeliers. I would imagine with his travels and his status, he must have collected some art.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he did.
This is things that would be originals.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You're not going to probably see them anywhere else.
Right.
We have 4 original paintings from one of the Philippines' most famous artists. His name's Fernando Amorsolo. I've heard that it's kind of hard to even find some of his work, and we have 4 originals there.
Mm-hmm. And this is part of what the tours pay for is conservation, because these paintings, they get grungy after a while. They need to be restored, and they have to be done right so that, A, they're close to original, and B, mm-hmm. you're not doing more damage than good.
Mm-hmm. You know, right. So. Mm-hmm. Right.
And you mentioned, you know, roofs and other things, they have to mm-hmm. be authentic. Mm-hmm. You can't slap a steel mm-hmm. roof on a historic building. The people start to balk at that.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're going through right now, because we have to replace 7 pillars. And you can't just go buy plastic things and stick them up there. They have to be done right.
They don't like vinyl?
No.
No.
Don't.
No.
And talking about that, actually, our tours, we don't have a price on them. We have just free will offerings. So, mm-hmm. what you know, and we like you to pay at the end of the tour because it's really, really good. And, you know, I
think people know what they're paying for.
Exactly, exactly, yes. So a lot of mm-hmm. families are, oh my goodness, we got all these children. There's no way we're going to pay $30 to walk through something where the last 3 of them aren't mm-hmm. interested. So that's
what we just do. Or the last 3 got kicked out halfway through.
So we just do a free will donation, and people have proven to be very generous when they come through, especially when you talk about the donation at the end of the tour, because then they know what they're paying for. Mm-hmm.
So the city is trying to make sure this stays, but they aren't looking to cover it all.
Correct.
You had mentioned that, you know, you had projects and you'd pay half and the city mm-hmm. would pay half. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the idea is that the city wants to make sure there's enough interest in it mm-hmm. to keep it.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You mentioned they were going to be painting as well, right?
Correct. Yes. Yes. And the city will probably pay for that. They're going to paint the outside of the barn and the shed this year. Yes.
And how mm-hmm. often do they have to do that? Because I think back and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, you're going to go back, you're going to find lead. It's going to cost you.
Well, you can't always do that today because it's, well, I believe it's against the law.
You can't put it
to
on
use
now,
the lead.
But you might
correct.
Have to abate it. And
oh,
that
correct.
Can be that can be the
correct.
Cost.
And thus, being by the lake, I think that at that, that atmosphere is just so damp so much that our painting jobs don't last that long.
Right.
It seems like about every 5-6 years we have to repaint, but I think it's because it's so close to the water.
I think they do it kind of on a rotating basis. Like this year it's the big house and the outbuildings, which is the barn and the carriage house, and then another time it might be the visitor center and the law office and that home. So they kind of have it on a rotating schedule mm-hmm. when it needs to be painted. Mm-hmm. So
and you just can't go vinyl, huh?
No. No.
That would be nice.
No, I don't think it would be. People would be going, how is this be historic when it's got vinyl siding?
Yeah.
Right. That's true. That's true.
Is it, and the painting part of it is to keep the boards from going bad. Because, mm-hmm. again, you're in a moist atmosphere mm-hmm. right by the lake.
Right.
You get a lot of fog. You get a lot of everything else. Mm-hmm. The idea mm-hmm. is to protect that.
Right. Right.
Have you had to do a lot of repairs like that, or is it just...
It seems like it all comes at once. You know how that is?
It's like everybody's house. Like everybody's house.
That's right.
The pillars and the porch really need repair work right now, but the city mm-hmm. is working on that, mm-hmm. so that will be getting taken care of.
Right, right.
When you're talking pillars, are we talking two-story pillars or just for the front porch?
They're pretty big.
And in the back, we have just as pretty of a back as we do a front. You know, there's pillars on the end of
the porch
for that also. So it's not just the front that you see. And then we just replace the awnings mm-hmm. and things like that. But, and you had just mentioned our tea. I have to plug the teas.
Yes, there's several different kinds, and people have missed them last year. And
that's
right.
That's right. And you just need to call us and schedule your tea. If you have 6 people, we can sit you inside at the dining room table. And if it's more than that, then we have this beautiful porch that has the awning. So it's rain or shine. You don't never have to cancel them.
I've been to around the shoreline, and it does get kind of cold.
A little bit sometimes.
If the winds are coming off that cold water.
I'll give you that. In fact, only once do we ever have to move the tee inside. I mean, the weather was that bad. And I think our awnings were down, and that was a couple of years ago. So we did have to move it inside, and that was fine, but it takes away a little bit. But we charge $15 a person, and we give you lunch. Then we give you a little program, and then we give you dessert, and it's from 1 o'clock till 3 o'clock, and it's fun.
Just want to let people know they do have some gift bags they brought along from the museum. If you'd like one, just give us a call at 269-9931, 269-9931, and be the second caller, and you'll get one of them. They brought two, we'll give you one right at this point. And you were talking on about the teas.
Yes, and then also in August we have a Dolly and Me tea where the little girls
Dolly
come.
Pardon?
Now we would get way too many reservations.
You wouldn't
for
have
that.
The kids.
No, that's
right.
No, this is for the little ones, and we take 5 years old to 7 years old, and we do that because then if you have a little 4 year old that just wants to come so badly, we can bend the rule for that, and then we only charge $10 for that. And then we do a tween tea that's going to be the 17th of August, and that is for the girls 9 years old to 13 years old, but they don't get to bring their dollies.
And do you use the tea service from the Murphy House, or do you have a special one for this? I mean, I know you don't want to have an oopsie.
Right.
That's one thing. We do not use Frank Murphy's dishes when we do the teas because... Sure, you can send away to Replacements Limited and replace a cup, but Frank Murphy has never touched it. It wasn't his family's. So we do not use theirs. We use our own stuff. And for the children,
which
we have children's
kind of
size.
It's going to feel
right.
appropriate, but it isn't the...
You'll think you're there.
It's not the highly insured stuff.
Correct. Correct. Well, and yes, you're right. And what's the insurance? Because
it's irreplaceable.
Yeah, irreplaceable.
But most times you have to put a dollar on it.
I know.
Because the insurance company is not going to say unlimited.
That's right. Right, right.
We have high schoolers that come and help with the tea also, and they can use those hours for their community service credits for school too. So it's nice. We have three freshman girls that are going to be starting with us this year.
Right.
So it's a good opportunity for some of the high schoolers to earn some community service credits to come and help.
And we've had girls and boys.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and it's really fun when you have both at the same year because you really get a lot of work done. Yeah, it's cute because the girls try to outdo the boys try to outdo the girls. Yeah, but the boys are standing there, you know, with soap up to their elbows, and they're washing these tiny little dishes, and it's just fun. I spoke to one of the boys one time, and I said, so how do you feel about doing this? He said, it's better than cleaning out the stable, which is what I'd be doing if I was at home. So, yeah, and we've never had a bad apple. We've just had the best kids, and we really appreciate them, yeah.
Like the tees and that dress up period or
well no we have regular we ask them to wear black slacks or a black skirt if you're a girl and a white blouse or a white shirt, and then we provide them with black aprons with the Frank Murphy logo on it,
so it appears like
right,
you know,
the servants.
I don't know that we can politically correctly use that term anymore.
They're the helpers.
They are the associates.
Yes.
Assistants. But
the
I
ones
always
that make it all possible.
Right, I always dress in the period. You know, sometimes our other members don't, but I do. And I during the lunch, I always give them different articles of how to serve tea and what different kinds of tea there are. And we have a program. We have an apron program that goes way, way back to when they were using the flour sacks or the grain sacks and the hickeys, and just different kinds of programs.
Okay. And again, we have some gift baskets, a little gift bags. If you want one, give us a call, 269-9931, 269-9931. And you get some items from the museum. Not the priceless stuff.
No, no. But there's ornaments. There's a mug in there. There's some notepads and mm-hmm. postcards and mm-hmm. and a nice little bag. So,
and do you customize the house at different times of the year? Do you do a Christmas
theme? We used
theme?
To. You know, we used to, and then we got so that the heat would be turned off, and of course the water is turned off so it doesn't freeze, and. That's not fun to do things like that when it's so cold. So we haven't done it lately, but we are open to
about
it if we
Halloween
have
Halloween is about mm-hmm. when you can end having things. Mm-hmm. Think.
Really? Yes. Yeah. Yeah. October is about it. I don't know if you can say Halloween.
Oh yes, you can.
Oh, can you?
That's never going away.
Right. We're really excited this year because for a few years we really were hurting for volunteers. But this year, there seems to be an interest in it again. Mm-hmm. So we've had at our Friends of the Murphy Museum meetings, the last two meetings, we have had more volunteers there. And so, you know, hopefully in the future we can start doing some more things. We've talked about the possibility of doing a strawberry social or, mm-hmm. you know, different things mm-hmm. like that. Yeah. So we just need the help.
And you have to find a weekend you can do it where you're not competing with other things
right.
in town
mm-hmm.
right.
because they have events
mm-hmm.
and
right.
you don't
mm-hmm.
want to draw away from somebody
right.
else's.
Mm-hmm.
You want to make your mm-hmm. own little mark.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
One thing I wanted to mention about the tea parties for the young ladies, too, we always do an arts and crafts project with
mm-hmm.
them
mm-hmm.
at the Dolly mm-hmm. and Me and the Tween Tea so
mm-hmm.
that the girls always enjoy that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Dolly, you meaning dolls?
They bring
yes.
their dolls with them.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, Dolly Parton.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we could probably invite her, but the chances of us getting her
are
pretty
rare. That would
be
a really good connection to
I know.
Well, you know, you'd probably get TV cameras out
there
yeah. that time.
For sure. For sure.
Frank Murphy was known to have some longstanding friendships with some pretty famous Hollywood actresses at the time, so we have pictures of them in the house,
mm-hmm.
and so...
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he remained a bachelor.
Yes.
Through the whole...
Yes.
Because he
right.
apparently was too busy for the family.
We've got some interesting letters.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And in fact, we're finding things all the time. We just came across a box that somebody had stored away in their place.
All family letters and...
Okay. We do have a winner for the first one. That's
wonderful.
Again.
Oh,
and,
good.
And again, there's two of them to give away. You can call 269-9931. We get you the other one. And you were saying, I kind of interrupted you.
Oh, that's okay.
The last letter that the Lori ran across, she was laughing so hard because apparently Marguerite thought it'd be a great idea to rent out these houses. Here they are just sitting here. Can't we rent them out and make a few dollars? And Frank said, absolutely not.
Because at one time, the Murphys also owned the home that is now the visitor center. That was part of their estate, too. But because Frank never lived there, they were able to convert that into the visitor center when the city took over the museum. But so I think Marguerite was probably thinking of renting that house and the law office home out and that people were getting $10 a month for rent. So.
Oh, my. That must have been a darn big building
yes.
at $10
yeah.
a month.
Well, the reason why they call the main museum the big house is because Frank actually was born in the law office, which is a very small building. In fact, part of it used to be the post office that came up from Rock Falls
mm-hmm.
after the fire of 1881. That was about the only building that survived.
Mm-hmm.
So they moved that up and attached it to this little law office. And so then when they got this house that they bought from Jeremiah Jenks, that was a big house. So it has nothing to do with it being jail or part of U of M, but they always referred it to as the big house.
Well, yeah, that's the way you would name
yep.
it.
Yeah,
right.
You know, we have trouble thinking back in history. When most of what Frank was doing, there wasn't paved roads, there wasn't expressways. The carriage house was a very important thing at the time because that was how you got to maybe a train.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you took the train down to, I know one used to go up to Point of Barks. I don't know if he caught that one and went down or found it in another spot, but you had to get to something just to get you onto something that was faster to get you to where you wanted to
right.
go, because roads weren't good and they get washed out easy.
Mm-hmm.
And I certainly would not want to ride in a carriage on wooden wheels all the way to Washington.
No.
For sure.
Not that much of a sport.
No.
For sure.
You would have grumpy old men in Washington all the time because of that. Okay, well, we're getting kind of close to the end of our time here. The museum. And we have given the second one away as well.
That wonderful.
One went to someone in Fillion, I believe, the name there. So we congratulate the people who came in. They'll have to come into the station to pick them up. Anything else you want to let us know about the museum before we have to wrap things up? You can give them the hours and how to get a hold of you if they want to do a tour, that type of thing.
We are open Monday through Saturday from 8 to 4 and Sundays from noon to 4. So if you want to just come in for a walk-in tour, you just come into the visitor center and say, I would like a tour. If we're conducting a tour, you'll see a sign on the table telling you what time we'll be back.
Do not come with ice cream, pop, or
no,
anything else
we don't
that
take
might spill in the museum.
No food or drink in the museum.
Are irreplaceable, and
right.
you don't want to have to explain to the restorator how
right.
Rocky Road ice cream wound up on
right.
this thing.
Correct. If you want to schedule a tour ahead of time, if you have a bigger group or you just want to make sure that you have that time set aside when you come in, you can go to the City of Harbor Beach website and look under the Parks and Rec tab. And my phone number is on there under the mm-hmm. museum. There's also mm-hmm. videos of the museum on there that you can watch, so you can kind of see ahead of time what you're going to be coming and visiting. And I just really want to encourage people to come, because it's really amazing what is in these buildings. I always tell people on the tour, I'm born and raised in Harbor Beach, and I did not know what was in the museums till I got hired to work there. And I went in and went, oh my goodness, this is incredible. And there is just so much. We have signed pictures of presidents in there. We have all of this stuff from the mm-hmm. Philippines. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. So we really want to encourage people to come in and see what we have.
Well, as I understand it, one of the big disappointments for him is that he didn't get to be president.
Yes.
Correct. There's a lot of things that that we also talk about on the tour that you can't find on Google. We try mm-hmm. to get some personal family ties and business and such as that for information that you won't find any other place. But actually, we've read so many books, and the people that come through actually knew him or were related to him. So we have those kind of tidbits that we like to pass along that that you can't find any place else mm-hmm. but on our tour.
Well, excellent. And again, at this point, you go to the city's website. I understand you're mm-hmm. going to be working on a Facebook page and
right.
all that, so don't mm-hmm. try to search social media that way. Not quite yet.
Not quite yet.
But
soon. Coming up.
It's coming. It only took 100 years since Frank Murphy was in the building, so here it goes.
We're working on it.
Well, thank you for coming out today.
And thank
you
for having
good,
us. I hope
you get a good set of crowds this summer. It's something people are just aching to get out and do
mm-hmm.
something, because
right.
they've been cooped up for so long.
You're right.
And this is a perfect opportunity yeah. to see how people lived when they were cooped up without a pandemic, because they couldn't go anywhere.
That's right. And thank you so very much
thank
for,
you
having
for having us
today.
Us.
Thanks for coming
appreciate
out, ladies.
It.
Our guests today on the program have been, I don't know if I get the names right, it's Sheila Eddy and also Lori Morosky. And they are from the Frank Murphy Memorial Museum in downtown Harbor Beach on M25, just south of the light. They're open 7 days a week. Check the hours on the website. I do want you to stay tuned. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll clue you in on all the latest in the news.